to create up to 9 units within that building to meet some of the residential housing needs that are within the community. So in order to be able to move beyond the 3 residential units, rezoning to the multiple unit residential R3 would be required for this request. Now, it is the intention to continue to lease a portion of that building to the Masonic Lodge, so that's the reason why only a portion of the property is being rezoned to the residential R3 zone. So, so certainly within within council's policy, within the planning strategy, it's council's intention to continue to promote new quality residential housing development within our community. So this certainly fits squarely within that policy of council. The lot is certainly of sufficient size, being being a formal school, as far as parking, outdoor amenity areas and things like that. There's certainly adequate space within that property to accommodate the multiple residential units being proposed for the site. So the surrounding area is low density residential housing, and to place more densified residential housing within that low density residential is really not an issue. I think it would fit quite nicely with the area. So so with that, council, our staff evaluated the proposal and feels that a rezoning would be appropriate for that property. The application was brought before Planning Advisory Committee at its meeting on March the 5th. There was a number of questions and comments raised by the committee respecting adequacy of services and things like that, and certainly the road network, municipal sewer services, and on-site a drilled well for water supply is adequate to meet the needs of this proposed development. So staff is in support of the proposed rezoning.
Any questions or comments of councillors on this item? Councillor Fancy?
I think it's fabulous that you can be able to look and try to make solutions of the problem. You know, and that's what you've really done. And commend you on that, Mike, for looking at this and being able to see how we can be able to make this work. I've been in to see the 3 units that they're working on now, doing a fantastic job. So it isn't like they're saying, okay, we want to go ahead, and we haven't even been looking at what we have been given in the first place. They are going ahead, and we're probably going to see this year those 3 apartments rented. So it isn't like they're saying, okay, we're going to give you more when you haven't done anything. What you have done, no, they have done something. So I think kudos to everyone for this.
Councilor Fisk?
I think it's a good move forward, and it will improve the area. Eventually, it will help that area. We certainly need these apartments. Good job, Mike.
Any other councilor? And if I may, and CAO?
Mr. Chairman, council, just the hearing schedule for 8:45. That's council day. The budget's supposed to be presented sometime shortly after 9 a.m. I think this proposal and proposal.
CAO. Having heard the CAO's comment, is there a councillor who would like to make an amendment to this motion regarding the comment? Councillor Crowley?
Yes, I'd like to make that amendment, please, to change the time to 6 p.m. on the, not sure of the days.
April 24th.
April 24th.
Seconded to that amendment? Councillor Kelly? Any discussion on that amendment? Are you ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. Any discussion on the amended motion? Ready for the question on the amended motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion as amended? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We will now move on to 13.2, rezoning request, 38 Bristol Avenue in Liverpool. Who would like to take the lead on 13.2?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to rezone PID 70026844 and a portion of PID 70026786 from residential, from restricted residential R1 to fishing and marine M3, and that a public hearing be held on. Do we have to do a motion to?
You do what's here.
Okay. And that a public hearing be held on April 24th, 2018 in the Council Chambers of Municipal Building 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:45 a.m. And that prior to the public hearing, representatives of Mersey Seafoods consult with adjacent property owners to discuss proposal, and that prior to the public hearing, Mersey Seafoods provides a landscaping plan for Council's review and approval.
Seconded that motion, Councilor Fancy.
Sure. So we've received an application from the owners of Mersey Seafoods to rezone a couple of parcels of land which are adjacent to the existing Mersey Seafoods operation located up Bristol Avenue. The processing operation as it exists now, the lands are zoned as fishing and marine M3. They are proposing to, renew or consolidate their operation to a new processing facility and office space within the bounds of their current property, and have the existing buildings and for the existing processing operation removed from the site. So. In order, under the land use bylaw, there's a certain separation where this is a higher intensity type of use with the surrounding commercial and residential area. The land use bylaw requires additional space for these higher intense, highly intensive operations from the surrounding uses. So. It's the intention of Mersey Seafoods to construct the new processing facility on what is currently being utilized for parking for employees across from lanes, and then move the new parking area to the south towards the bridge. The property or the proposed building will be located within that property. So. In order to meet the setback requirements for the new building, Mersey Seafoods has acquired the adjacent residential property. It would be the Nickerson property, and is now in their possession. And it's the intent that this area be used as that buffer area from the proposed new processing plant. So in order to facilitate the new construction. The buffer area has to be located within the same property as the fishing and marine operation. So that property is required or will be required to be rezoned. as well, there's a portion of the parcel to the rear of the to the rear of the parking area, which is also owned by Mercy Seafoods, which is intended to be used as the truck turning area and storage area for the processing operation. So a portion of that parcel would also need to be rezoned to the fishing and marine M3 zone. Included in the package is some site design drawings and site plans of what is being proposed. Staff has looked at the operation that has been existing on that site since the mid '60s, and certainly an integral part of the local community and a significant contributor to the local economy. So with the consolidation to the new processing facility, certainly improves the visual amenity of that area leading into downtown Liverpool. I think it will go a long way towards improving visibility within that area. We've had discussions with our engineer and works department, certainly the sewer and water services, road access to the site. Bristol Avenue is one of the primary roads within the community of Liverpool, and certainly has adequate ability to service the proposed operation. So with that, staff has evaluated the proposal and certainly are in favor of proceeding, or council proceeding with the proposed rezoning. The application was again brought before Planning Advisory Committee on March the 5th for discussion. And there was a number of questions that the committee had raised, particularly around some landscaping and buffering of the more intensive land use with the surrounding areas. And it was at that time suggested that some additional landscaping be incorporated within the proposed development to help reduce some of the impacts that this may have on the surrounding area. So you'll note that the recommendation contains provision for submission of a landscaping or a more detailed landscaping plan for council's consideration prior to the public hearing stage of the planning amendments. So, but staff, both staff and planning advisory committee were certainly in favor of moving forward with this proposed amendment.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions or comments of councilors on this item? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, I don't even know if it's, we should be asking this or not, but I'm just going to jump in. With their doing this, is it looking like they're expanding? Are they relocating? Are they adding to? Or is it more storage?
It's certainly my understanding that the proposed building will be larger than the existing processing facility. So it would be slightly larger than what currently exists. So,
so be relocating what they have over to this.
That's correct. It's their intention to remove the existing processing facility once this new facility is up and operating. So.
Okay. Councilor Phil.
Well, I don't know what to say except repeat myself again. It's going to beautify the area. Really impressed by how great the facility is.
Thank you. Any other councilor? Councilor Feller?
The last part of the recommendation concerning the landscaping plan. I have a bit of a problem with that. Mercy Seafoods is spending a huge amount of money to create this. We've seen the drawings, and I'm not sure whether we should be worried about that. I think they're very aware. They've been great neighbors talking to everybody concerned, and I don't see the need for a landscaping plan prior to this public hearing.
Yeah, that's certainly council's council's decision to make. I guess it was the suggestion, the recommendation of PAC that be incorporated as a buffer to try to mitigate that higher intensive use within that area. So, but that's certainly a council decision.
And is that because they're moving the building? I mean, currently we don't seem to have any problems with sound or anything.
It's more of an aesthetic perspective that you get a more industrial type of building that's going considerably closer to the road than the existing facility that visual amenity improved through buffer.
I think in honor of our fishing history that we would be thrilled, and we are thrilled to have a building that's going to be brand new, modern, and
absolutely
reflects who we are as a community. So hiding it behind trees doesn't seem to be important to me when we're changing the face of that side of the river. So
And I think with or without, I think it's the landscape, it's certainly going to improve the visual amenity of that area anyway, but that's a decision to council.
Yes, Councilor Cook.
I amend the motion to have that removed.
Certainly.
Okay. I would like to make the motion that we remove the last part of the landscaping plan out of the recommendation.
Second to that, Councilor Fisk. Discussion on the amendment? Councilor Fancy?
I agree with Councilor Ferrell. I don't want anything to be a problem that would cause anything to slow anything up or stop. Did they know what the recommendation was going to be?
They were present at the meeting.
Oh, so they wouldn't have any problem with this anyway. Is that what you're saying? I don't know.
It certainly hasn't been expressed, but they were certainly present when the motion was made.
So it doesn't matter to me the way, because they wouldn't have had a problem with that, like that.
And there was some landscaping proposed, as you notice in the drawings that were submitted. So.
Any more discussion on the amendment? Are you ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? Those opposed? 5-2, it passes. And while we're on amendments, the previous comments of the CAO on the timing of the public hearings, is there a councillor who would have an interest to make an amendment as to the time of 6 p.m.?
Amendment got you.
Yeah.
I so move that we change the time as requested from 8:45 to 6 p.m. on April 24, 2018.
Second, Councillor Fancy. Any discussion on that amendment to the motion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? It is unanimous. So now we have an amended motion to discuss. Any further discussion on the amended motion? Councilor Mews.
The house there that they purchased, the Nickerson House, they're planning on tearing that down, Mike?
I'm not 100% sure. I know there was discussion. I don't know whether Mike, you had any comments as representative for
the discussion we had suggested that we were not allowed to leave the house in because it would be a non-conforming building in what would be a marine industrial zone, assuming the zone weren't perfect.
Certainly the use of that for a commercial operation is not, so you wouldn't be able to utilize that as part of the fishing and marine operation. So.
No, and we had no intention to use it. We simply bought property as to comply with the buffer zone. So it would be our intention to remove the house.
Thank you very much. Councilor Kelly?
Since Mike is in the room, is it appropriate to ask him the question that Councilor Fancy asked? Because I think there's a lot more to that.
I think we're getting beyond the council meeting to a hearing meeting, and we're not to that point yet. So I think with the two amendments to the motion, it's pretty clear, and the proponent as well as Mike. Mike can work with the finer details and advise council if that's fine. Any further questions or comments on the motion as amended? Are you ready for the question on the motion as amended? All those in favor of the motion as amended? It is unanimous, thank you very much. Moving on now to 13.3, Region of Hope Municipality, Community Plan Strategy and Land Use Bylaw Review.
Yeah, just as an information update, as you're all aware, the municipal planning strategy and accompanying land use bylaw for the region is up for formal review. The documents were prepared and formally approved, the current documents approved by council back in 2009. And as part of the requirements under the Municipal Government Act, council is required to include policy within these documents as to when it would be proceeding with amendments to a review of the planning documents. It doesn't specify under the Act a particular time frame. However, council has identified that within an 8-year period, it will initiate a process of review of the planning documents. So we're presently within that that 8-year or at that 8-year time frame, and we need to proceed with the project to have the documents formally reviewed and updated to meet the current needs. A lot has changed within the region of Queens over the last 8 years since the documents were implemented. The demographics continue to change with an ever-increasing proportion of our population falling into the seniors demographic and meeting the changing needs within the community. I think our documents obviously, they're meant to be a living documents. As things change, we need to adopt amendments or review to meet the current needs. Now, the planning documents are intended to establish goals, objectives, and policies of council as to how they see development occurring within the municipality over 10, 15, 20 years. Have the appropriate policy in place to meet these goals of council. So looking at some of the the key issues that that we would need to address through the review of the planning documents, as I mentioned, the changing demographics, increasing diversity of the communities within our municipality, certainly the servicing needs and what the community requires has continued to evolve and we need to change to meet those needs. The region of Queens itself is primarily rural in nature. A lot of policies that are contained within the current planning document, the more detailed information is around the urban areas, which I guess the higher density of development requires more stringent regulations to address that development. But with a larger component of our municipality being rural in nature, I think we need to look at policy that addresses the changing needs within our rural landscape as well, commercial, economic development, the natural resources, things like that. So I think we need to make a little more differentiation between the two types of areas within our community and how we're going to address the somewhat differing needs that exist within those two areas. So. You look at things like climate change, it's happening, I think we need to incorporate additional policy that is going to look at how we address development within our coastal communities, as well as our significant lakeshore development, which we have here within our communities, and how to better address the needs of those different areas. I think there's also a need to look at new ways to try to engage the public in the planning process. Can't hear me, Jack?
No, we can't hear you.
Oh,
can't hear you.
Sorry, Leo. So I think there's a number of key issues that we have to address under the amendments or the review of the planning documents. So Planning Advisory Committee has been discussing over the last little bit some of the, I guess, items that would be included in a request for proposals. Right now, at current staffing levels and the current workload, we don't have the capacity within the department to undertake such a significant project on our own. So it's clearly necessary that we need to go externally and hire a consulting firm with expertise in land use planning to take on that work under, obviously, the direction of staff and as well as the Planning Advisory Committee as, I guess, the key interaction with the consultants. So it's the intent through these discussions, we've identified a number of guiding principles that we would establish through a request for proposals that the consulting firms would need to take into consideration as we move through a review process. Those five guiding principles that we've identified was building sustainable communities where residents can live, work, learn, shop, and have access to a variety of recreational opportunities. Balancing the desires, needs, and inequalities of communities within the region. Look at what policies we can establish to facilitate growth of the population and the economy. As the presentation earlier this morning on housing and affordable housing and sustainability, the population obviously has been on a decline over the last number of years, and what can we do to stem that? We're looking at preservation and enhancement of community character, natural assets, and the environment, as well as public engagement throughout the planning process, and that's certainly an integral part of any process is direct engagement of the public and to see what exactly their feelings are on what's required to meet the changing needs of the community. So right now, I guess this is as we're required to start the planning planning process, and we're getting nearly the stage now that to go out for requests for proposals for those consulting services, and we just want to run by council some of the I guess the key challenges as well as the kind of the guiding principles that we would hope to follow as we move through the review process.
Thank you, Mike. Our Director of Planning, Mike McLeod, has asked for council direction on the MPS review going forward, and it has budget implications in this upcoming budget. At this time, I'd like to ask our CAO his preferred direction as to how we provide direction to council on the MPS request for money.
Sure. So, as council is probably aware, we've been setting aside a certain amount of money in the budget for the last couple of years in the reserve, recognizing this project is coming forward, so there is some money set aside reserved for that, as well as some money you'll see in the budget upcoming as well. So probably a two-year project, probably $200,000 to over $150,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, depending on what the RFP is back at. So we do have some of that money set aside.
That's correct.
And then it would be a two-year project in full? Would you have something at the end of 2 years?
Yes, certainly the anticipation. It's probably an 18 to 24-month process from start to finish.
So I'm going to ask you, is that the average for this process for other municipalities?
Yeah.
Seems like a long time for, you've been waiting a long time for it.
Yeah.
And to add 2 more years on the time that we've already been
talking
about this?
That would be a reasonable time frame. It's we're doing a comprehensive review on the entire document, so that's, yeah. There's, if you're looking at 18 months would be probably an average, so yeah.
Seems if we're hiring somebody that this is their skill set, it seems it wouldn't take 18 months for somebody coming in.
No.
You can see in-house it may take long because you have other duties, but it feels like a very long time.
It's a comprehensive project. We've had discussions and we have, experience within our planning advisory committee with similar reviews in other organizations. They certainly concur that that's a reasonable time frame for such a significant project.
Any other councilor? We will be at a later date. We will be voting on the budget, which will incorporate any issues such as this included. At this point in time, I'd like to take the consensus vote of council to provide direction to Mike to proceed with this process. All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, which is under planning, is 13.4, a request of an extension of purchase and sale agreement for the former Gorham School on Bazan Street. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councilor Kelly?
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve an extension to the purchase and sale agreement with Gregory Thomas and or signee signed on December the 11th, 2017 for a vacant lot on Bazan Street of the full to May 31st, 2018, and that the Mayor and Chief Executive Officer be authorized to execute the agreement on Council's behalf.
Seconded to that motion?
Yep, just as a little background, as you're all aware, Council approved entering into a purchase and sale agreement back on January 9th for the sale of the five properties which made up the former Gorham School property. On January 23rd, I guess the closing date that was included in the original purchase and sale was February 8th. Which was for a purchase and sale was quite an aggressive closing date to include in the document, but however, that's what came in. So on January 23rd, we received an amendment request to the purchase and sale to extend that closing date until March the 29th. So that date is pretty much upon us now. And as of yesterday, our department has received a request through our realtor to have that amendment or have that purchase and sale closing extended to May 31st of 2018, essentially in an effort for them to complete their due diligence as to what they're proposing for the properties and what information that they need to comfortably move forward with their development proposals. So we've included a brief outline of the rationale from the applicant for the extension request.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Kelly?
Are you saying they're asking us for more information to provide more information about the property that they're, before they make their, so that they can go through with
they're certainly requesting that extension in time frame to allow them to do their due diligence to the end of May. There are a number of things that they have included within the I guess their rationale, which aren't really correct. That as far as the rezoning of a couple of the parcels, a rezoning of the properties for multiple unit residential housing development is going to be required. Essentially, for all the properties, is it two of the properties are zoned as restricted residential R1, and the main parcels which were utilized by the Gorham School property, the larger pieces are zoned as institutional. So, to allow for multiple unit residential housing development, rezoning to the R3 multiple unit residential is going to be required anyway. So, but they essentially just need some additional time to do their due diligence.
Councilor Fisk?
I understand that February 8th is a close call for closing the procedures. And then they asked for the extension to March 31st. And it just seems to me that a company of this size, I would think they would have their homework done. They've been with these deals before, I'd expect. They'd have their homework done. So for that reason, I can't vote for it.
Yeah, again, they're asking for a second extension. I understand sometimes these things come up and things that come about, but again, the zoning, I noticed that too. But I noticed there were some things that weren't quite right, you know, and there's some things they were asking. I like their ambition in going forward with this, but there are some concerns that seem to pop up to me. I don't know if I can vote to go forward with this. I mean, they can still make a reapplication. Doesn't mean it's all, even if we don't do this. But I don't know if I can support it at this time.
I'd like to ask Mike McLeod to give clarification that they do not meet their performance, their deposit, and reapplying for a new offer. What would be the financial implications to redo this if we refuse to the proponent?
Well, certainly financial implications up to this point, respecting their, I guess, the legal fees that they've incurred, and what there are, I don't know what they've spent. We've certainly incurred legal costs to get up to this point. So I guess if council does not approve extending the closing date beyond what's currently approved, and them not meeting that, the purchase and sale agreement essentially becomes null and void. Then we're back to square one of having the property listed for sale. So I'm not sure that it answers your questions.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. I have Councillor Johnson next.
By us causing this agreement to become null and void on Friday, do we have anybody else in the hopper who are interested in this property or development there?
Certainly no new developers that we're aware of. I guess there was two interested parties at the time, or at the original, but this is the only.
This is the only bona fide offer.
That's right.
Okay. So, from a strategy perspective as a councillor, I don't know of anybody else who, or what we're looking at, because I know we have a whole lot of other things that are on our plate that could be utilized at this property, but I'm not sure where that fits with giving these folks the extension or where it doesn't. It's a tough thing to vote on because I'm not sure the consequences if they walk away. Are we stuck with another vacant piece of land, or is there a better offer coming down the pike?
it's certainly valuable parcels of municipal land. There's no question the centralized location of these properties, that there's considerable value to the municipality. Obviously, we want to see development, the right development take place on these parcels. And certainly what was proposed in a multiple unit residential housing development for the sites, it's clearly within the policy of council and trying to encourage new residential housing within the community. So should the development proceed, I think it'd be certainly an asset for the community. However, if the development doesn't proceed, we don't want that land to just sit there either and lose control over that. And I think that's why we incorporate a provision that should the development not proceed within a specified time frame, then the land gets reverted back to the municipality, because there will be other developers that will come. I'm sure of that.
And my last piece of my question is, these folks were actually proposing to build affordable residential housing, not affordable seniors housing.
It's my understanding that they weren't specifically focused on these seniors development, and even the affordable, I'm not 100% sure on, and that certainly would be up to them. We don't control whether it's, I guess, the type of clientele that they would aim their.
Well, I'm lost in his letter in the back. It says, in summary, I need clarification on whether or not us starting and building those possible 11 units that are already zoned properly would satisfy the municipality. So, they're saying they're going to start on the land that's zoned, but they're having problems with the land that's not rezoned?
But see, and I guess the confusing part with this is that they're under the understanding that it's zoned as general residential R2, which allows for row house or townhouse style of development up to 5 units. But it's not zoned as R2, it's zoned as restricted residential R1, so the most that they could put on each of those lots would be a duplex. So you're not looking at 11 units, you're looking at potentially, and I don't even know if they could fit within the bounds of those parcels, because we haven't looked at that, because this has never been a discussion that we've had with them. So so you're looking at a maximum probably of 4 units, potentially, as opposed to the 11 that they indicate in their rationale. So there's a number of questions around the information that's been provided to us.
Councilor Fisk?
Good question to Mike. If we happen to vote to allow this to go forward at the end of May again, and then they come back with another letter, where do we stand with the amendment?
Well, I guess if council approves this amendment, I guess we have to deal with the requests as they come, if it may or may not happen. But for the sake of a couple of months to enable them to satisfy themselves that yes, they can proceed with the development, and to be able to at least start the development within that year time frame, for them to be comfortable to do that. I think it's not an unreasonable request. The properties had been on the market for not an extended period of time, but for a reasonable period of time. So for the sake of a couple of months, it's, are we going to be that much further behind by approving it or not approving it? So
Councilor Bill?
I've had some red flags about this in the past, and the last extension. I was hesitant to vote on it, but I did, because of all the reasons I said that we should. I don't think that I'm going to vote for this one. I think that they've had an opportunity to do some work, and feel that these extensions could go on and on if we don't stop. So I won't be supporting the motion.
Councilor Kelly?
Can you just clarify for me, Mike, all of these pieces of property as part of the unit that we're selling them, the lot that we're selling them, they're all R1.
No, just the two smaller ones at the bottom of the, yeah.
These two here are R1. And this one, these are all.
Institutional.
This is all institutional.
I1, that's right.
So at what point will they be, they'll be, didn't the zoning request already go through for this, or wouldn't they buy it already rezoned to what they want to use it for?
That was never part of the purchase sale, that they included in that as a condition of purchase and sale.
To have it rezoned.
That's right.
Right, so that's a bit, so they buy the land and hope for it to be rezoned to, that it would get rezoned to R3 is what they need, right?
That's correct.
It would need to be R3, and it's I1 right now, institutional one. Okay. That's it for the one. Somehow I think, sorry. I know.
Would you like me to come back to you?
Yes, please.
Counselor Johnson?
Okay, by us approving this extension, it doesn't change any of the, and I'm looking for clarification, doesn't change any of our conditions within the agreement of purchase and sale, other than the closing date, which does away with.
That's right.
The rezoning piece. Does it limit us to still be able, for the next 2 months, explore other purchasers or other people who may have showed some interest in this?
Certainly, if we've got a valid agreement of purchase and sale, we're certainly not going to go out and start looking and raise that expectation that these lands may become available, when in fact we've got a signed purchase and sale which commits us to selling to them, should they meet all their requirements and are satisfied that they can.
But if somebody walks through the door and expresses interest, we can still kind of talk to that interest as long as they know we have an existing agreement in place that would expire the end of May, right?
I'd be a little hesitant in actually engaging in those conversations, knowing that we've got a valid offer of purchase and sale, so to even put that expectation out there, I don't think would be reasonable on our part or for somebody walking through the door as well. But should this expire, then that's one thing, but I wouldn't support engaging.
But to date, we have a bird in the hand and not one in the book. So, okay.
I'll come back to Counselor Kelly.
Yes, I think what I was getting at was, like, this was all part of what they're asking about here. The reason for this extension was starting the project within a year, right? But that was all part of the original agreement, that original sale.
That's correct.
Agreement. So they knew this right at the very beginning. And then their original closing date was February the 8th.
That's right.
Which they set.
That's right, through their realtor, that's right.
And then what was what was the last extension for, the end of March?
The 29th of March.
March 29th. And what was the reason for that extension?
They didn't give any detailed explanation. It was just through their offer that they're requesting that extension.
Just an extra month, so we can find out. And now they're asking for an agreement for another 2 month extended to May 31st, based on this information that they knew about right from the very beginning about starting the project.
Yeah, and I guess when the amendment came in that I received yesterday, I made the specific request of them as to provide some rationale as to why they were requesting that extension, and this is what I received. So.
Right, okay.
So the year, I guess the year, that clock hasn't started. I guess the year's time frame within which they would be required to start construction. So that would start upon closing and then acquiring title to the property. So whether it's the end of March or the end of May, that clock would start ticking once they take possession of that property. So, but they were certainly well aware when we signed the original agreement, and as well as the extension, that clause was there, that as a guarantee that if they don't start development, that the land is coming back to us.
So the question that they're asking about starting within a year, right? They know that, well, when they now that they're talking about starting triplexes, but they can't even do that based on this. So this whole zoning process could take another, like once they take possession, take another
2.5 months.
2.5 months
That's
on top of that to get it rezoned. So then they're starting, is it true then they're starting, if they just built a house, if they just built anything like a dwelling on one of these R2 properties, is that then starting a project? I mean, I wouldn't consider that from the original agreement to say that they're going to build a series of houses, a housing complex of some sort on that property. That would constitute the beginning of a project.
And I wouldn't on that either. I guess their original purchase and sale was specific to them building an apartment. Now, they didn't specify the number of units, but a multiple unit apartment on the property. So would I consider that as complying with the purchase and sale of a couple of single unit dwellings? Absolutely not. We're selling a 4-acre parcel or parcels of land for multiple unit residential housing development, and that's what we would expect to see take place in that.
Are we selling this to them migrated or not, or just like that, for 5 parcels of land?
We have to migrate.
We would migrate it all into one. So if we migrate.
Well, no, I guess you're talking consolidation. I guess the migration is for the title.
Sorry.
So so we have to migrate as the sellers of the land. So each of those parcels.
We're not selling it consolidated.
No, we're selling as 5 parcels.
As 5 parcels
right.
of land, which they would then have to consolidate. Well,
definitely so. Yeah.
I mean, they would if they want to get the R3 for all of them, right?
Depending on how they want to situate, could a multiple unit be incorporated within that one main piece that the school was on? Potentially. So I guess that would be up to their site planning as to how.
Do you think we were specific enough in our request as part of the sale agreement, purchase and sale agreement, of their the onus on them to actually begin this project, to what they actually put forward as the project in order to buy the land in the first place?
I guess their proposal was for a multiple unit apartment development on the site, and that's what council approved.
Multiple apartment complex.
Yeah. Now, could they put multiple buildings within that? There's certainly potential under the, if it was rezoned to the multiple unit residential, you could have multiple apartment buildings. You've got a considerable area of being a little over 4 acres on that site. So could there be a residential housing complex, multiple unit complex per se on that? And there's potential on that site for that. So.
That answers your questions, Councilor Gill?
Yeah, I think it's still a bit, it's not quite, it answers my question, yes, but sorry, go on.
Councilor Fancy?
I think the concern for me is that just what we're talking about here, if you're going to build something, you need to put your homework in, and it looks like they didn't do the homework. It's like if they were even going to apply to get rezoned, that wouldn't even come to May. If they wouldn't even get to be able to get the zoning in to prior to understanding what they could do with the piece of land. So it's a lack of where they're headed for and what they've done. It kind of scares me, because it looks like they won't be ready in May by the world of how they would set up at this particular time. So that's what things like that. If I were going to buy something, I'd make sure that I'd be doing my homework along the way and be caught up to where we are, and I don't see that.
And that's certainly not an unusual condition of a purchase and sale agreement, is particularly when there's questions of zoning around that, is to have that included as a condition of purchase and sale, that the municipality successfully rezoning the parcels to multiple unit residential or whatever. We've done that in the past, but that certainly wasn't part of the original purchase and sale.
Any other councilor have a question or comment on the issue? Are you ready for the question? CAO.
It seems like there's confusion on this issue. And so as Councilor Johnson said, the burden of the hand is better than burden of the bush. So while there may be some future uses for that property, there aren't any immediate future uses for that property. And if we walk away today, then there'll be
come forward, so they obviously have some knowledge of development, but based on their letter and some of the bonus information in there, they obviously haven't done all the homework. So I guess from me, what I would suggest is if the council's willing that we would agree to the motion with the extension, but prior to signing it, we would ask the planner and the mayor potentially to meet with these individuals. I've explained to them that the fact that it's not properly rezoned, that it needs to be rezoned. Explain to them what potentially complete is, so they understand, because we had a discussion here, and we're not exactly sure between council and staff what exactly that means as far as what potentially complete is. So they have at least the same understanding that we have as far as what's required in order for them to meet the compliance and don't sell it back to us at 75%. If the mayor and planner are comfortable, then we would follow through with giving their extension. Just one time extension, I would agree if we did. We would suggest this is the last extension because this would be the second extension. And for some reason that we meet with them and they say it wasn't their understanding and misunderstood, that we would simply ask them to withdraw their application rather than us deny it, which publicly doesn't look good. Looks like we're against development, which we're not. But we also don't want to tie up land that we think could make another potential developer. So I think we would, my recommendation would give them a chance to sit down and have a discussion with them and see if they understand what's ahead of them as far as the rezoning and the time frame, and we'll clarify the other parts of it. If they're not comfortable with that, then they withdraw their application.
Any questions? Councilor Kelly?
I'd just like to add to that. I feel more comfortable now knowing what we know now, or this thing developing along, that and what they're saying here is that as a response to our saying develop the land within a year, that they were thinking about building a couple of buildings on the outskirts on one of these properties, that we sort of qualify what our intention was, that we expect to see, you know, a multi-unit apartment. That was what we agreed to start a project, not just a couple of duplexes or triplexes or something like that. Get an understanding of we expect to see a substantial development begin on that property.
Any other councilor? Yes, Councilor Kelly?
Is that suggestion from the CAO going to be included in the motion?
Well, it's on my understanding originally from the CAO that if we pass this motion and the proponents withdraw, then it's in effect a motion that has little value because they've withdrawn. If they're willing to proceed on the basis that they're going to do everything that's necessary, then we would have authorization to provide them with the extension. If council has a comfort level that requires an amendment to the motion, then certainly that can be done. That's a councillor's choice. CAO, do you want to?
I guess it's an understanding that if we authorize to enter into it, if the mayor and the planner are comfortable with what they hear, then we're committed to it. But if they're not comfortable with it, they just understand the discussion here today, they won't sign it. And they'll just explain to them that there's no deal here. And they withdraw their application, and then at the next meeting, we'll come back with a motion to issue a city motion.
So are we voting on this today, or are we going to amend the motion?
I'm suggesting the motion as it reads today is appropriate, with the understanding that it would be, if they wish to withdraw because they don't understand the process, then they would withdraw.
And you don't need that to be part of the motion, a revised motion to say that?
No, because we don't know if they're going to, that's their own personal decision.
No, I mean, just say that enter into, that it goes, council is agreeing to this motion based on a meeting with the mayor and planner to discuss it further and have them decide whether it goes forward or not. No?
Just not sure how you word it.
I know, it's a bit weird.
There's so many anomalies there. I think just in good faith, we have to understand that's the discussion we had, and that's the direction that we would, council would give the mayor and the planner to proceed that way.
Okay.
Any other guests, Councilor Kelly?
Would it be appropriate to ask the CAO to be involved in that conversation as well?
Certainly.
So that everybody's feeling comfortable?
I'm very happy with that.
Thank you.
CAO, are you willing? Here you go.
Thank you.
Got your answer.
Pardon?
Councilor Fisk?
I didn't get that, what Brian said.
The CAO included in the conversation.
Okay.
So it'll be the CAO, myself, and the planning with the fire. Having a discussion with the proponent. Any other questions of councilors? Councilor Fancy?
Didn't mean to say this here, but maybe I will say it. some of the people who were involved were involved with another project there too that could turn out quite the same, and so that other brings concerns to us.
Sometimes you make a mistake the first time, you make a mistake the second time, then we know going forward.
Any other questions or comments, or councilors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? 5, those opposed? 2, 5 to 2, it does pass.